Leprosy is a horrible disease. It begins with so little. Small specks appear on the eyelids, in the palms of the hands, eventually spreading throughout the whole of the rest of the body, bleaching the hair white, casting a deathly pale tinge over the skin, bursting out in oozing red sores. But that's just what happens on the surface. Penetrating the skin, the disease, like a moth, eats its way through the weave of nerves running through the body, making the whole body eventually numb to the point of depriving it of any sense of pleasure or pain. A toe, a finger can break, and there's no pain felt. And of course, sensing no pain, the leper continues to walk, continues to work, worsening the injury, hastening the infection. Such is the spiral nature of the leper's suffering. And if the physical stigma wasn't enough, the religious leaders at the time of Jesus also attached a moral stigma. They believed it to be a direct blow from God upon the backs of those who were sinful. And with such a belief came a rigid catechism of effect, cause and effect, platitudes. No death without sin, no pain without transgression. To the pious, leprosy was a visual symbol of moral decay. From such innocent small beginnings would come a disease that would eat the life and empty the soul. The Old Testament law required that lepers' outer clothing be torn, that the face be partially covered, a cap, a hood would suffice. The leper was to dress as a mourner attending a burial, namely, his own. The leper must call out to those that they pass, "Unclean! Unclean!" An announcement of their pending physical and moral end. They know they must keep at least 6 feet away from anyone that they pass in the street. And in return, they're acknowledged only in that they are shunned by all. Little children run from them. Old people shoo them with stones, with sharp-cornered remarks, with slurs, nicknames. Many just choose to walk on the other side of the street, just to be on the safe side, muttering a prayer, undoubtedly for themselves, while shaking their heads in disgust. Some act as if the leper is invisible, as if he's not there at all. So they live not only with the horror of disease, but with its shame and its guilt. There was no cure for this kind of soul. None at all. No hope, in other words. The leper was forced to live shuffling about on the outskirts of community, associating only with others like themselves. A colony. A sub-community of unwanted souls pushed to the edges of society, sentenced to live out their days on the fringes of humanity, treated as less than human, making them think that they didn't even have any hope with God. So the leper's life is one of isolation. Like the disease, the isolation progresses gradually but completely. First, the leper's peripheral friends drop away. Then his closer circle of friends become less and less, until only a tiny nucleus of immediate family are left, and they struggle with not letting go and letting go. So one by one, they eventually disappear as well. Until one day the realization dawns, it's only their mother that's left. Her visits to the colony, to the community, are shorter and less often. She seems to stand further and further away each time, looking less and less into her child's, the leper's, eyes, compared with how she used to. The hollow cave, the communal dive that the lepers live in, is another symbol too. A symbol of his loneliness. His life is hard, colourless, dangerous and dark, darker each day in fact. As he huddles in the cold and shadowy recesses of that dark place in life with little light and no love entering in to his world. There the leper lives, without any hope, without any simple joys and dignities of life. Being smiled at, greeted in the street, buying fresh fruit, talking and laughing with friends, getting up and going to work, being invited to a wedding or a party or a celebration, singing songs of praise along with others. The leper is barred from all these things and more. I wonder how long it's been since someone has shaken this leper's hand, patted him on the back, hugged him even. How long since this leper has had his tears wiped from his cheeks and felt the kiss of someone's lips on his forehead? This leper, in Luke 5, awakes early this morning from a dream of such times, of such things that he once took for granted. He dreamt of those times he remembers in his own life when people noticed him, hugged him, loved him. But that's all just a distant memory now. His reality is nothing more than that dive of a cave, a den of iniquity, and the broken down community he has no choice but to be part of. But this morning is different. This morning there is a buzz in the air. Something about a man from Nazareth. They call him Jesus. He's in town. Jesus, the one they say who claims to be the Son of God, you know, the one who heals the sick and makes the lame walk and opens the eyes of the blind, you must have heard of Jesus. The news sparks hope in the heart of this leprous, darkened soul. So, compelled, he hobbles away to see the truth of it all, to see this Jesus for himself. The crowds were the giveaway. And seeing the fuss, the leper assumes this must be this man from Nazareth, this Jesus. As he closes in to grab a glimpse, he sees from under his hood. He looks an ordinary man. He looks like no other man. The leper thinks to himself, as his heart sinks for a time. Timidly, yet boldly, the leper shuffles his way along the frayed edge of the crowd, watching and listening, daring not to lift his head too high. And with each person he sees Jesus heal, a wave of wonder sweeps over the crowd and touches the leper's heart. Deep and real. Trembling with excitement, the leper dares to do what he would never do with any other religious teacher. He draws near to this man, Jesus. And as he does, the crowd suddenly notice him and part like the parting of some great sea. A large, anxious circle quickly widens, surrounding the timid, desperate leper. Some stand silent, watching. Others murmur their disgust and disapproval, but one thing's for sure, no one stands in his way. The leper stops within arm's reach of Jesus. He falls at his feet. And he looks up into Jesus' face. If you are willing, you can heal me. You can heal me. Jesus sees the glimmer of faith in the leper's sunken eyes. He also sees past the ashen skin, past the stench of his oozing sores. Jesus sees past the guilt and the shame. He sees a broken life. And the sight of this fallen soul fills Jesus with compassion. And he reaches out and touches him. He touches the leper. The touch says so much. I care. I understand. I want to help. It says more. It says, I love. I forgive. I make new. And with that single touch, with that single glorious touch, the leper can already begin to feel life flowing into his soul, into his body, for the first time since before he can remember. And Jesus doesn't delay in putting an end to this man's suffering. I am willing, says Jesus. Be clean, my friend. Be clean. Another surge of life, of cleansing, of forgiveness runs through the leper. This time he feels it from the top of his head to the feet of his, to the soles of his feet. He looks down on his hands and the sickly colour is gone. He checks his fingertips. He clenches his fist and he feels strength. As he lifts his head to look up at Jesus, he does as a new man. His eyes welling up and overflowing with emotion as he tries to speak, but it's almost as if his whole sad life is lodged sideways in his throat and the words don't come. Not yet, at least. But soon they will. Words that will allow him to tell everyone he meets about his cleansing, about his new life, about his freedom from social imprisonment and loneliness. And he will touch so many lives himself with the news of the Savior, with the news of this Jesus of Nazareth, that he reached out and touched the untouchable. Leprosy is a horrible disease. But there are many different kinds of horrible diseases. One of the worst was and still is discrimination. Call it prejudice. Labeling people. Judging, categorizing, and labeling people so that we know how to treat them. So that we might learn how to control them and corral them and contain them. What kind of people is it that we ignore? that we avoid, that we discount? Who are the untouchables of our time? And what is it about them that has us judging them? What is it about us that has us judging them? The untouchable. This story of the leper may well raise a variety of theological or social relational issues, but it also begs this question: what was it about Jesus that attracted broken and disfigured souls like this leper to him? What was it about Jesus that attracted these people to him? Should it surprise us that it was said of God's coming Messiah, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out? Which begs another question. Who are the bruised reeds, the smouldering wicks of our communities? And why aren't they attracted to us?